CBS Eye on the World, from the surface of the planet Earth to the surface of the planet Mars. Brave Ingenuity, the flying toaster. Bob Zimmerman is here to introduce us to another successful venture for the flying toaster. Bob, what is Ingenuity doing now? What is its mission profile, given that it can take off and fly, what was it, 46 feet high? It's showing all the time that it's inventing Martian flight.
Yeah, well, they completed the 36th flight, which was essentially the previous flight, the 35th, that set an altitude record of 46 feet. And that flight was the second flight using their new upgraded software, which allows it to go over rougher terrain and obviously fly higher. They did a 36th flight last weekend, and that flight basically went out a certain distance, about 180 feet, and then turned around and came back and landed back where it took off. And that was to test once again these new software to make sure it could really do exactly what it says it's going to do. So that was a success. So what are they doing? They're now preparing for the 37th flight, which is supposed to occur this coming weekend. They're basically going to move a larger horizontal distance, and this time reposition the helicopter. They're not clear about where it's going to move, but they want to stay close to Perseverance, and Perseverance has been slowly working its way back towards Ingenuity as it studies the cliff face of the delta that flowed into Jezero crater. So Ingenuity keeps functioning, and its capabilities have clearly increased, and they're learning how to do this for the future sample return missions, where helicopters will do the same. We'll do that.
Now for a spectacular on Behind the Black, the sounds of Martian wind. Bob, what are we going to listen to?
Perseverance, has a microphone. It's the first microphone that's really been on Mars, and they use it to try to listen to wind. And they were very lucky recently. A dust devil directly flew right over Perseverance. And so the microphone picked up the sound. I've got the soundtrack embedded on Behind the Black, and you can hear what sound on Mars sounds like.
And here, just about 10, 14 seconds. Bob, it's spectacular to listen to another planet. I don't know why is this so incredible, Bob? What does it mean?
I wonder about several things here we have to be aware of. I don't know how they've processed this. It sounds just like our wind on Earth, but this is an atmosphere that's a thousandth the density of Earth. So I'm not sure if you were there, even if you had a hearing sense, you'd hear anything. But nonetheless, this just proves that Mars is an active planet. It has an atmosphere. It has winds. It's shaped by that atmosphere, and we now can hear some of that shaping.
We go from Perseverance to Curiosity, that is still working very effectively, and it's looking down on Cadiz Valles. This looks like more of the troublesome terrain, Bob.
Oh, yeah. They're moving into a slot canyon right now. And so they posted, once again, a navigation camera took a picture looking out along the direction they're going to go. And it's looking out into the mountains. So I said, oh, my gosh, I got to show that. So I posted it on Behind the Black. And you really can, and I've got a dotted line to show where they're about to travel. And they're going in among mountains. And so and this was expected now for years, but they're finally doing it. And so it's just really cool. Curiosity is in the mountains. And, yes, the ground is at times is going to be rough down the road, but they got a long period now where they're moving across a relatively smooth area. They're trying to drill into this because it's an unusual bedding plane, and they're having trouble because it's hard. It's soft, it's smooth, but it's hard, and they've had actually attempted two drill points and have not succeeded. Curiosity is marching on, and I be hopeful it's going to be working for a long
time. Bob, remind me, I get confused between them. Do both take samples that are dropped to be picked up later, or is that just Perseverance?
No, that's just Perseverance. Actually, in a sense, Perseverance has limited capabilities because of that plan. Curiosity not only drills, but it then has instruments to do a great deal of scientific analysis of those samples. For Perseverance to get that, it does core samples, but it does not do the same kind of intense analysis. The decision was made that it would be focused on storing those samples for later pickup where they'd be brought back to Earth, and that analysis would be done then. And then you get better analysis, but you're going to have to wait years to get it. So that's the difference between the two rovers.
One more detail. From the photograph that you put up of Gadis Vallis, it very much looks like there's been, you could only say, water erosion. Would that also look the same if it was a glacier erosion and not water erosion, Bob?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point. On Earth, we know very clearly that a glacier-carved valley is not the same as a water-carved valley. They have different shapes. And if I had to make a choice, this valley looks much more like a glacial formed valley. Glacial formed valleys have much steeper walls. They're more U-shaped, while water valleys tend to have a V-shape into the base. And this looks much more like a glacial. But, you know, we don't know. The theory, there's evidence that liquid water was here in Gale Crater. So it's a mystery at this moment in time that is not solved. And the curiosity is there to try to solve it.
Cool images on Mars. We're looking at a sunken butte. What do you see, Bob?
This is one of those cool images I found from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, one of the orbiters. And it's a high-resolution image of a terraced butte, but it looks like the ground under it got washed away and the whole butte went down in one unit. That's one possibility. It also could be some form of ice mud volcano. It's located in Utopia Plantation in the northern lowland plains at a high enough altitude where ice is definitely a factor in its formation, but it's just strange. You don't get this kind of geology on Earth, John.
We're off to Jupiter. This is Juno, the probe, and Juno has taken a photograph of a Jupiter moon that looks very much like a Christmas ornament, doesn't it, Bob?
Well, that's a good way to put it. Juno took a heat image. It's, in a sense, it's not a photograph. This is an infrared image, just like Webb doesn't take optical. This particular instrument on Juno doesn't do optical. It does infrared. And so it's a heat image of the moon Io that orbits Jupiter. And Io is known as a volcano world. Many, many volcanoes. In fact, it was the first, one of its volcanoes was the very first photographed in 1971 by Voyager 1 while it was erupting. And this is a constant thing on Io. Dozens of volcanoes, and they come and go. Some are active, then they die off. Then others are active, and they die off. And this image, the reason it looks like a Christmas tree ornament is because there are lots of volcanoes on Io that are active. And so the heat signature shows you bright spots where there are active volcanoes. And so that's what we're looking at here. Juno is going to do a close flyby of Io, and it's going to get even better better data, including some good photography, John.
Well, these many volcanoes at all, means you have an active core, you have a molten core like Earth.
This is one of the cool things about Io. Just weeks before that Voyager 1 spacecraft flyby that detected an active volcano, scientists predicted in a paper beforehand that Io would have lots of volcanoes, and they exist because of the tidal forces from Jupiter that heat up the interior of this moon. And so it's from heat. It's from internal heat, but the heat is because it's churned by the tidal forces from Jupiter's big, big, big gravitational field.
All right. The DART mission. What is it, Bob?
DART was a mission to impact the asteroid Dimorphos, which orbits a much bigger asteroid called Didymos. This happened in September. They've now published some results from that mission. We know it shortened the orbit of Dimorphos by 33 minutes. They now have a pretty good idea about the amount of material that was released. They think that both of those asteroids, they are a binary system. They actually are made up of similar stuff, and that the amount of ejecta significantly changed how things functioned in that impact. And that's one of the interesting things about this, John.
Two exoplanets. We find two super-Earths. What's unusual about them, Bob?
They are not rocky, it appears, not like we thought. We've always assumed that super Earth's, you know, more massive than Earth, but rocky. They're more massive than Earth, but they're not rocky. Instead, they could be, they're water planets, we think, 50, as much as 50% of them water. Of course, a lot of it is also could be steam because they're close to their stars. Interesting, weird stuff, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. He's keeping an eye on ISS. I'm John Bachelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.